Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit View, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU or ChangeAgents. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. And in order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode page, and you can also email me questions at consulting@valerieflinert.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Change Agents, Working the Inside-Outside Game. We'll talk about how community activists, community-based organizations, and elected officials can work together to affect systemic change. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and to participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals, educators, and community stakeholders are especially encouraged to call in and share your stories. Our guest for today is Reuven Fellows. He's the founder or co-founder of Books Over the Ball, Over Balls, and he's a local community activist. Reuven has over 30 years' experience in community activism and nonprofit management. He has worked with Family Focus North Lawndale, managing programs to reduce teenage pregnancy and to prevent gang involvement and to also reduce truancy. He has also been instrumental in advocating for the creation of the Illinois African American Employment Plan in an effort to bring the state's employment of and contracting with African Americans on par with the percentage of African Americans living in Illinois. He was instrumental in the development of the A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter's Museum on Chicago's South Side, and he's an active participant in the Illinois African American Family Commission's Community Advisory Council and Black Wall Street. Regardless of where Reuven is, his singular goal is to empower African Americans to take control of their economic environment and to become self-sufficient. He accomplishes this goal through grassroots organizing and maintaining relationships with elected officials to create win-win situations. You can find this episode on my blog, Nonprofit U, under episode 15, The Change Agents. Go to valerieflinert.com/nonprofitU and click. Thanks for being on the show, Reuven. It's indeed an honor to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work in the community?
Well, first, let me thank you for the great work you do in supporting nonprofit organization and champion business and development. So I'm honored to be on the show, and I want to thank God for the opportunity. Well, my name is Reuven Fellows. I grew up down near Robert Taylor and in the low end, as we call it, around 43rd and Ellis. Moved around quite a bit throughout the city. My mom, we moved a lot. So I end up in Chatham at Sebarbaro Elementary School, where I grew up there and went on to Simeon High School to play basketball for Coach Bob Hambrick, where I was able to get my high school diploma and then go on to college to play basketball and use basketball to get my education. So I've come through Englewood, I've come through Woodlawn, and down in Robert Taylor Homes and the whole nine, and just been blessed to have about 8 role models that are responsible for me being here. And my cousin, who was in major involved in gang activity, made sure that if I got in any trouble and my mother called, that he would deal with me personally. So I've been scared straight that I've not been in gangs and drugs and not doing drugs. And so I championed him, even though the negativity that he had, he made sure that I made it through. And that was a big thing that took place when I was younger. And so I've had several role models and family people responsible for me being here, and I thank God for that opportunity and to give back.
Oh, that is awesome. So you did mention a little bit about some of your role models and even, you know, sometimes negative, quote-unquote, people or people who do negative things can cause us to do positive things. So that's a wonderful thing. And I noticed that you grew up playing basketball at the Chatham YMCA, and some of the folks, you got encouragement from some of the most unlikely people, people who are already hanging out, as you said, who didn't want you to make some of the same mistakes. So you started Books on the Ball to give back some of the lessons that you learned. Can you tell us a little bit about the program and how you got started, where you operate, and some of your accomplishments?
Well, Books on the Ball is a great program. We call it a recreational program of violence prevention that's one of a kind. Fernando Vincent, our CEO, and myself and Alvin, our other administrator, we met and came together, I say spiritually, because neither one of those guys played basketball. And they had an idea. And my Chatham Y days takes me through Coach Bob Hambrick, who actually coached me since I was in like fifth or sixth grade. So I actually was going to Simeon before I got to Simeon anyway, because Coach Hambrick was at the Chatham Y, raising me through basketball and so forth. And then Mr. Gil Walker, who was responsible for Midnight Basketball, where he was commissioned by Bill Clinton to do Midnight Basketball in 26 cities and set them up. Crime CHA was down for 10 years when Mr. Walker got engaged and did that thing across every major city. So he's one, and another coach, Lonnie Hampton, from down on 35th and down in Ida B. Wells, Federal Homes. He is responsible for most of the guys coming to Simeon, baseball, basketball, being recruited from the west side and the project going to Simeon. He championed that and getting brothers and talking to the parents to attend Simeon. He doesn't get the credit, but he is the recruiter. So those guys made it possible for my discipline and what I've been doing and championing. So I'm back here now to give back what those guys gave to me. But I was at Simeon. I came out in 78. We won the championship in the blue division, put them in the red. And in that process, I say that set the flight for Simeon to be able to do what they're doing now. You can't have a champion until you have one. And so I set the tone, like I said, I set the tone for what it should be. And so before Derrick Rose, and before Ben Wilson, Jamari Parker, his name was Reuven Fellows, in case people didn't know. And so with that, play. So I went on to Olive Harvey Junior College, and Coach Walker and made a commitment, said, if I ever get a college team, you guys in college, I want you to come back home. Mm-hmm. So we were in Seattle, Washington. I was at a junior college. And Mr. Walker called and said, man, I got the coaching job at Olive Harvey. Get on the plane, get back home. It's on. We finna go. So me and my buddy Don, who I grew up with at Simeon playing ball, who we both raised, Tim Banks, and was his first cousin, who actually won the championship for Simeon with Ben. And we went there and came back.
Program?
Well, this what happens is I was able to go to Olive Harvey, graduate using basketball, go on to Rural University, graduate, and then go into working community. My brother was at Simeon when Ben Wilson got killed. And so I had to cancel my trip to go. I was going to go overseas and play ball in Europe, had everything, condo ready, money ready, and getting ready to get out of here. And when Ben got shot, the spirit told me, go get your brother, because my mother not going to do peer pressure. And I forgot. And the streets ain't going to play because of the gang. So I brought him to Aurora. I put him through school, through college. He's in Aurora now. He's married, has a son and my nephew, and he's doing well. So it paid off. So after that, being in Aurora about 20 years, I met a guy named Dr. Charles Smith, who was my mentor and got me into the activist culture. But when I'm going to the comeback, I got 30 years in social service and community. Books Over Balls came about after I left Family Focus 3 years ago and got on my own, and we started a program called Books Over Balls. And what basketball is, a carrot to draw them in the gym and then win them over, because I have not-for-profit background. So if I can get him won over and get to the house, if his grandparent raising grandchildren, or if a teen pregnancy mom, or as an ex-offender or reentry, I can do them. I also was Mission Men Father Support Group. I was the director for that, helping men. So anything in that household, because of my political connections and my organizing, I can kind of speed the process up in the house. So we get young men in and get them in college and tell them it's academics first. It's called Books Over Balls, and we ain't playing.
Yeah, that's really, really good. So when I think about an effective inside-outside game, I think about folks on the outside, like community activists who are working with grassroots organizations. And then on the inside, I think of people, you know, like Magic Johnson, who has helped you along the way, like the Henry English, who has helped you along the way from BUFI. Think of all of those people working together to affect the change. And I think a good example of that is your work with Representative LaShawn Ford. You know, you were very instrumental in advocating for the creation of the Illinois African American Employment Plan. So can you tell us a little bit more about what that plan is and how the community groups work together to help Representative Ford in getting that legislation passed?
Well, that was really a blessing. Some years ago, early, there was a rumor that the Hispanics had a Hispanic employment plan, and I had gotten my hand a copy. You know, I'm a researcher, so I got my hand on a copy of it. Miss Garnett Hall gave it to me and gave it. So I went to ask people, where's our plan? So I went to politicians, preachers, community people, where's our plan? I'm advocating for black empowerment. I'm figuring if they got a plan, we should have a plan. We kind of been here a little while, too. And so so I kept moving around about 2 years, and then finally God said, well, why don't you write the plan? I said, well, man, you know, I'm just a community organizer. I don't know. I ain't in there. I'm a visionary, not a writer-nary. I hooked up with a young man named Will Birch, who's a business major, and I do a lot of mentoring for young boys. He's a business major, knew how to put it together. So we put our brain together and orchestrated the African American Employment Plan 2012. And State Rep. Ford was having a meeting that he had just been appointed over to Task Force Illinois for Small Business, and they were forced to do research about how to get more blacks into business. Well, I went to a meeting with him, and he had the mission statement. And the mission statement, somewhere by the grace of God, lined up with the African-American Employment Plan was supposed to be the outcome of his mission. We already had the document written, and we didn't even know each other. And so that had to be spiritual. So he began to try to push it in Springfield. We didn't get a lot of support from the black elected officials for a black piece of legislation. And then I'm a community organizer. I wrote the bill and couldn't get the black organizers behind me. So whatever fate it met, we ended up pushing it for a while and couldn't get it. And we had an interview with Emily. She had a show on WVN on a Sunday, and we got on that show, and people called in and said, where's our plan? And so WVON was very instrumental with us, putting it on the airways, and by Tuesday, the governor was in the basement signing it. So that championed the cause. We exposed it, the radio station, let everybody know about it, and we asked the tough question, why don't we have an African-American employment plan for ourselves? And we got through that show, the bill passed. So I can successfully say God gave me an idea to put together a civil rights bill, I call it, is to hire blacks in state government. There's been an argument. How do we get around minorities? How do we get around diversity? It's simple. It's called the African American Employment Plan 2012. It's a law to hire, not diversity, not multiculture, is to hire people. So we're looking at when the governor gets through with all the cuts in the budget, he has to hire black people, because I was instrumental in orchestrating the bill with State Rep. Ford, myself, Sister Emily, and you were a major part. I had written several articles about that we needed to come together. Ms. Blakely had did some minority reports, and you mentioned it. And me, you didn't even know I was involved in it. I took that document, added to the design, we started pushing. So you helped pass that bill, for sure.
I never thought of it. Well, thank you. I don't see myself as that instrumental, but thank you. I thank Representative Ford. He's been a lone voice in many areas down there.
Yes.
I thank God for him, and thank God for you and other folks who just agitate.
Yeah, so, he's a quiet assassin, I call him. He's a quiet assassin. Yeah. Well, you know, I would, if I could say this real quick to go back to the Books Over Balls, he was my number one supporter and champion of Books Over Balls. And so when Magic Johnson had the recruitment, we got the contract with Books Over Balls in South Shore, thanks to Henry English. And then in Lawndale, because I was a resident, or I mean, I worked there, we was able to do that. And one of my students that I put in a program there for my program was picked out of 300 students to get an intro for Magic. He did such a great job that he made Magic cry for 15 minutes.
Wow.
And when Magic came out of his tears, he looked at the young, whatever script he had that was scripted, it was out the window then because tears falling, so he had to come up with a new one. The new script was, young man, you don't have to pay for college no more. When you graduate from here, I will pay for your full ride wherever you want to go. And I can say, as of this last 3 weeks ago, Hayman Cross Jr., Hayman Cross III, is now at Morehouse College with a 3.8 GPA, graduated from Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson has paid for all 4 years. And we just got word that he's been voted freshman president when he got down there. It's Books Over Balls, got books, got game, got life. It's a culture, and we ain't playing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So that brings me to another example. You know, you have this perfect ability to affect the inside-outside game in your work with the Illinois African American Family Commission. You're a volunteer, and I thank Michael Holmes, the director. He's awesome. The Illinois African American Family Commission is a state agency that develops, evaluates, and advocates for public policies, plans, research, and programs that will strengthen and preserve families, family economics, workforce participation, health status, safety, education and training, and quality of life for African Americans. I had to get that directly off the website. You know, I couldn't do that on my own. You know, I couldn't. I had to share that to let people know how comprehensive the scope is. And, Director Holmes is doing an awesome job. And full disclosure, you know, you're doing volunteer work with them, and, you know, you kind of brought me into it, and they're doing some great things. But what I want to talk about is your participation on the African American Communities Initiative, which is basically like an advisory council. So can you tell us how you got involved and your role in some of the activities?
Well, I want to first thank Director Holmes for his great work. He's community up. Most people don't know that, but he comes from the block. He's been culturally center in the city state. So I've been knowing him since I've been out west and watching his work with the Department of Human Services with Dr. Adams. And when he got this position, and he did something that usually Dr. Adams would bring the community to the table. And the focus became economics this time instead of social. And so I spoke with him about it. And also, my birthday is July 2nd. The Civil Rights Bill, 64, my understanding, was signed during that time. And the commission was commissioned with the governor this year, where they signed it July to validate what they're doing in terms of civil rights and accountability. So that's the commission. So it's part of that spirit. But I shared with Mike, man, I would like to bring some people in from the ground that do a lot of work that don't get a lot of attention. And he on the ground, and he knows I'm all over the place. And he said, no, but sure, I want this Tuesday meetings to be about community. So I welcome the people you bring, brother, because I want to get the input and then be a, you know, a facilitator of what the community wants to Springfield legislation and down Springfield. So I brought about a good 9 or 10, maybe 15 people to the table that I know do work, and you were one of them. So Cecile and quite a few others, Derek Harris, and people that do work that they gonna sit around and talk about it. They're gonna be about it. So in less than a short period of time, we organized to go down for the budget cut and put together a document, and we mobilized over 400 or 500 people down there for the budget. And I contribute that to a lot of the relationships I have with people like yourself. If people know me, I never have a platform that I don't bring anybody to use my relationship to give them a platform. And so that was an opportunity. I thank Director Holmes for giving that. So my research and my resources have been able to support him from the community up, and I must commend everyone that's been at the table for their commitment, because it's not a paid situation. And he's been there even though the budget. So kudos out to Mike Holmes, and kudos to Boots on the Ground.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You work very closely with Lynn Hughes, Dr. Lynn Hughes, and she founded the A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porters Museum. And again, pulling this off the website, the purpose of this museum, I don't write like this.
Well, at least somebody can't say you misquoted yourself.
This is true. So the purpose of the museum is to promote, honor, and celebrate the legacy of A. Philip Randolph, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, and contributions made by African Americans to America's labor movement. So developing that museum and keeping it open, it didn't come without its struggles. And again, it required a strong inside-outside game, folks on the ground, the insiders running programs, as well as elected officials. So can you tell us about your role in the development of the museum and how your engagement with the community and elected officials on behalf of the museum has panned out?
Well, I'm excited to talk about that. And you told me, Reed, you got to calm down and get through this. I'm trying, but I'm hyper, real hyper. But I'm hyper excited about my mentor, the Reverend Dr. Charles Smith, who's the founder of the African American Heritage Museum and Black Veterans Archives out of Aurora, Illinois, who's one of the top sculpture artists and folk artists in the country, and an ordained minister and a hell of a leader and spokesperson for veteran affairs. So Dr. Smith put together a museum to represent the veterans who died in Vietnam, the African Americans. So there's a black museum in Aurora, a black museum in New Orleans that was built by one man to the glory of God, and to be the history of black veterans that fought in the war. And so I met him when I graduated from Aurora University in 85. I met him in 87. And I went by there. They say, there's a crazy man on the corner. And so everybody was talking about it. He's doing this in Chicago. It's like a gypsy house. But he take recycling art, stuff you throw away, and turn it into art. So I've been in the recycling before recycling. So I was green before it got green. So that was nice. And I found out 15 years I'm a green man in recycling. So, but the Dr. Smith, I said, man, what's going on with our people? I'm graduating from college. He said, well, you want the truth? I said, yeah. He said, well, everybody you think leading you and trying to lead you ain't helping you and ain't leading you. So I spent 3 years of research, 2 years, to find out was he true. I came back and told him, I just quit my job at the high school. I'm going to work with you to save black people.
Yeah, wow.
And so I committed to him, and I actually took him with no email, no fax, and no money and marketed him to the Smithsonian Museum. His work is now going all over the world. Kohler Foundation out of Wisconsin came and got 2 tractor trailers of his work. So after that work being done, and Dr. Smith, I came back to Chicago to give back in the community that was given to me by my coaches and come back and work at Family Focus and do the work. I saw that Dr. Hughes, wasn't a doctor then, that the museum was under attack. Well, who would have thought spiritually God had already trained me in Aurora Museum Saving that I would come and meet Dr. Again, she wasn't Dr. Hughes then. And I met up, and she was under attack by politics, elected officials, and people all over was trying to destroy a black woman holding up one of the men considered the most dangerous black man in America. His name was Asa Philip Randolph, founder of the Pullman Porters, the first black labor union. And if you got a black woman holding up a black man, now while I'm living, you're going to attack her. I don't care what she did. And if you don't like her, I liken that to somebody going around telling people Elijah Muhammad eat barbecue. Somebody going to get hurt around here. So I said, everybody, wait a minute. So I began to organize, mobilize, and unfortunately nobody was coming to a rescue. The guys in the streets from the west side, Mark, them guys, Paul and them, Robert Taylor, the organization, street organization, came to that museum and stood toe-to-toe with the city and said, no, not this sister and not A. Philip. And so we won that battle for her to be there now. I was there front and center, the strategist behind a brother named Chris White, and she was able to maintain that museum with no money. And now that God has allowed Obama to come into Roseland and make it a preservation and give her a phone call to recognize her to come and be a part of that inauguration of the Pullman Preservation. And that give God to the glory. And Dr. Hughes, and now Dr. Hughes since then and written her book. So we just thankful one of the young guys that's over there now helped mentor. His name is David. And he's running the museum from an HBCU college, and he's a graduate business major. So God has always put me in a good fight, and I've always get it and I come prevail. So I can actually say I like it, and I've been trained for it. So, but that is part of. And then I also was able to bring Tabitha Smiley
Reason,
here, give him the general voice. Yes. Okay.
Reason, it looks like we have a caller here. Okay, let me see if the caller wants to speak. One moment. Caller, you're at area code 773-563-6379. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I just wanted to know. This is Randy Ryder from Keeping Real Law Project. I just wanted to know why you got that guy on your show.
Because I love me some Reason.
Hey, sister, it's really good to hear your voice, and I've been keeping up on email on all the good things that you're doing. I got firsthand knowledge of Brother Reven's contribution to the community. He is one of my principal mentors. I don't know if he want to admit that because you know people might be listening, but
I say he did good. He did good.
You know, because you know I'm kind of an acquired taste, let's just say, but I definitely want you to understand, and people do not understand what we are blessed to have among us. Brother Reven has always been at the forefront of unity and. Mm-hmm. And putting people together, putting like organizations together, I would not be where I am without the recognition that I was and the contacts that I was given through Brother Reven Fellows. I want to first say that tell him thank you in a public forum. I ain't never did that before.
Thank you, brother. Bless you, brother. Bless you.
Now, you guys have to keep me up to speed, get me on the speed, because I did not miss. I did not hear the first part of the show, and I just got the email that that you was gonna have my brother, my friend on your show, and an opportunity to reconnect with you, because like I've always told Reven, I said that's a quiet storm. You know, people, your demeanor don't.
Yes. Yes, sir.
don't let nobody know. You sneak up on a brother, you know. he thinks he's getting one thing, and next thing you know, you just as radical as some of us big mouths out here. It's just that you don't say it as loud.
oh, you should have been on the conversation with him and me yesterday. I'm sorry, we're going to have a conversation. You got so much passion, we want a conversation. He's like, okay, I'm sorry. And then 2 seconds later, he's back to shouting at the top of his lungs. But it was a
conversation. I already know. You ain't
and
got
I feel his passion.
Well, that's one of the things where Reven and I are the same, is we have passion, and then we both think outside the box. We have a different take on our plight than most other people. And we are solution oriented rather than just jumping up and beating the chest. You know, anybody can do that. But everybody know the problem and what you're going to do about it. That's the frontier. And yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just looking at our time. We're coming close to the end of the program, but I did want to answer your concern. We do have, this is a recorded podcast, so in about an hour or so, it'll be ready, and I can send you the recording, and anybody else that I email, I can send them the recording so you won't miss anything.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're going to say anything, if this is having to do with Brother Reven, this is the best kept secret in Chicago. You know, there's a whole lot of people who would not be where they are were not for a Reven.
That's true.
And so because he gave them the platform to launch whatever it is that they launched, and I'm gonna say this as a person who is about fairness, I think some of those individuals need to remember where they got their start, and make sure that brother is well compensated or taken care of as a result of his help. Because if I ever get to where I got six figures behind my name, the first person I'm going to see is Brother Vivian Fellow. Because did nobody know Randy Ryder. I'm not from Chicago. You know, did nobody know nothing about Randy Ryder until I started dealing with Brother Vivian Fellow. Now, Keeping the Real Law Project, I teach the community the constitutional rights, the constitutional minimums to guarantee those rights, and how to effectively engage with law enforcement. We need to teach our young people this and stop allowing them to be like lambs going to the slaughter because they don't know. Half of the time, they convict themselves before they even get out of the interrogation room. They don't know they have a right to have a lawyer in the interrogation room. See, they don't have to listen to that guy jumping in their face, turning red, spitting all in their face with their bad breath. They ain't got to listen to that. They can say, I want a lawyer and stop it all.
Okay, well,
how
Randy.
Many false... Yes, ma'am?
Randy, okay, we are coming to the end of our normally scheduled time, and I got a couple more questions that I got to ask Reason.
Okay.
Let me ask Reason a couple questions, and, you know, there may be other people who want to call in. Let me give the call-in number one more time, but I'm going to keep the line open for you, too, Randy.
Not a problem.
The call-in number is 347-884-8121. We're having a really good conversation, and if you guys don't mind, I'm going to extend it just a few more minutes, about 10 more minutes, you know, because the conversation really is too good to just hang up. The call-in number again is 347-884-8121. Got a couple more questions of Reason, and then, you know, Randy, if you want to chime in, feel free, okay? All righty. So, Reason, you know, it's clear that in order to do the work that you do, you have to develop a strong inside and outside game. So that's the folks on the inside who normally have access, folks like the political folks and foundation people, blah, 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 and then, you know, working with those of us on the outside who don't have that kind of access. So can you share some pointers for developing a strong inside-outside game?
Well, one of the things is about relationships and integrity. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank my mom, God, and my parents and my community that raised me, that my relationship throughout the city allows me to go places because people know I'm about the children. I'm consistent. I don't change my message. Mm-hmm. It's the same. I'm not trying to hurt nobody, whether it be a politician, preacher. But if you're not right, I'm going to call you on it. And I'm consistent, so I don't take nothing from nobody. And mostly everybody I come see, I'll always come bearing gifts and not taking. So I think that allows me to go from the west to the south to the east. I ain't got to duck my head because I ain't never been paid. I don't run with no clique. So that part of integrity allows people to trust me that I'm not on anything other than what I say. And I thank God for that consistency. And I always say, one of my buddies say, if you ain't networking, you ain't working. So you got to be networked. And so you got to praise politicians when they do well, and you got to whoop them when they don't do right. And so I'm your biggest fan if you're working on Pookie, Chiquita, Ray Ray, and Junebug. But when you get off course, it's going to be a problem. We got to talk about it because the children come first. And then the other piece is loving our people unconditionally with a serious heart. And I try to do that, and I'm always trying to uplift people as much as I can. So that allowed me to be in the political arena, organized, and then it allowed me to know people so I can get things done. I've actually been running Books Over Balls for 3 years with no funding because I have relationships, and I thank God for that. So you need to go to meetings. I use this philosophy. I go to every meeting. I do 2,000 meetings a year, and I go to every meeting. And I don't miss the health, housing, social service. Any meet going on, block club, forage club, whatever it is, hip hop, anything, I go because I'm looking for the two people that's tired of going to the meeting that didn't want to be in the meeting. I know them people doing work, so that's how you recruit an army of workers. You're looking for the two in the meeting that don't want to be in the meeting and tired. They've been doing work, so now I got an army of people that I brought to the commission that were doing work.
Wow, wow.
That's the philosophy. The world, it says, you're two people away from a breakthrough in a room, whether it be a business or success. But if you don't go to the meeting, you won't meet them. People say, well, black people don't get together. I said, man, they got a meeting on there tomorrow. Man, I ain't going no meeting. Well, if you ain't come to the meeting, how you can tell us we ain't getting together?
Right. That's why they're not getting together.
It's crazy. We don't get together, but you ain't going to the meeting. Then they get mad at the person calling the meeting. I said, man, you selling watches. He calling me. Go get the people with their wrists. Don't forget the message. Find the people that's going to buy your watch. You ain't got to worry about the guy. They all got a wrist.
Marketing opportunity. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. You selling shoes, and the man talking about something else, and you mad at the man instead of going to people, do you need a pair of shoes? Go get your money, player.
Right. Okay, so, Raven, I got one more question to ask you, and I think you answered some of it. Can you share three lessons learned other than what you just said over the years doing this work?
Well,
or if those were the lessons, you can just add one, or if you feel like that was something.
I'm going to add a couple, and they were God sent from my mentor, Dr. Charles Smith, who's Randy's mentor and my great brother. I had the pleasure of being with a guy 20 years who was a minister and a Vietnam vet. So I got whooped into shape with the word and some labor. So, but when I got with Dr. Smith and I quit working, I mean, I walked out on faith. I'm going to leave my job to go to a place that I can't get paid financially and be committed to black people unconditionally. And one of the things I could tell Dr. Smith, man, how are we going to do this, man? And, man, it's hard working for black people, man. He said, well, brother, let me share something with you, and you can either leave today or don't come back. But this is what's happening. In doing something for black people, make sure you're doing it to the glory of God, because it's going to minimize your pain. If you're looking for a trophy and a plaque, this ain't the program for you, Mr. Fellows. And if you're looking for somebody to say thank you, uh-uh. So you can go back to your school job or stay here, but if you're looking for some personal glory around here, it's not going to happen, Calvin. I said, wow. And I stayed. Then he said that. He said that we're here for the living, the dead, and the unborn, brother. I said, wow. That's a, we ain't got no money. How are we going to get there? He said, there's a scripture. I'm asking your question two or three terms of what got me here. He said, the scripture says, God add to the church daily such as it should be saved. Means if you think you got to go raise some money and find some money, you ain't going to never get started. Start walking, fool. Start walking. And I'm here to tell you 30 years later, I ain't stopped walking, ain't wanting for nothing, ain't got no whole lot of money, but God always provides, and I always get there. And people think I don't win because nobody giving no money. Everybody I've been involved in is a victory because I pushed them up, and then I got done what I wanted to get done, because it's called NationalBlackAgendaConsortium.com. It's a big video everybody in. They don't even know any of my video.
that is beautiful. Okay, you know what? We're going to have to wrap it up now. So I'd like to thank...
No, I got more to say.
You,
no, hold it in.
I started to call you Reverend. You preaching that.
Girl, don't curse me. Don't you curse me.
You just might go to the ministry. Whether you call yourself in the ministry or not, you there. Okay, so
okay.
I'd like to
I'll take it.
Yes. Thank Reva Fellows, the co-founder of Books Over Balls, for being my guest today. So, Reva, would you care to share any parting thoughts and let us know how we can reach you? And then after that, I want to give Randy Ryder, you know, about 30 seconds to see if he has any questions or anything he wants to share.
Well, I just want to thank God, you and Brother Randy, and people that have been supporting me. Again, I'm able to do it without anything because I have friends. So a lot of people believe in me. And I can be reached at R-E-V-I-N, like Kevin Butler, R-Reven, and Fellows, F-E-L-L-O-W-S, at yahoo.com, RevenFellows@yahoo.com, and 773-969-9600. 9644. That's my cell. And just again, I'm also Geraldine's son and Reuben Lee Fellows DNA. Them my mom and my daddy. So
okay.
And so I want to just thank you for this time, and it's just been great for you to let me express myself, and I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. Okay, Randy, did you have anything you want to share with us, any questions or comments?
Well, the Reverend already said everything. So I can't add nothing. You had to cut him off. We didn't leave nobody to say.
Well, you know what, Randy, Dr. Smith used to say, when you get your 15 minutes of fame, hold the light switch.
Okay, you know what? We have one more caller. Let me take this caller. Randy, you sure you don't want to say anything?
Just that. Like I said, we need to be thinking about solutions rather than the problems. We spend too much time rehashing the problem rather than thinking about the solutions. We need to consider. We need to stop thinking about where the solutions come from and whether they're good solutions or not. See, if you ain't Chief Wahoo so-and-so, then don't nobody listen. But 15 years later, he said the same thing you said in 2010, he said in 2020, and everybody on board with it. But you said it in 2010. But because you didn't have his rank, status, et cetera, it went right past everybody. So that's one of the things, that's the main hindrance for us as a people elevating. We too busy, we value personality over progress.
Yes,
That's pretty profound. Okay, we've got one more caller. Area code 773-865-9753. You can close it out for us.
Hi, I'm Glenda Fulton, National Circuit Earth Society, and I just commend both of your guests, and I'm grateful for what they're speaking on and speaking out on. It is so, so needed. And you know, how many times over have we said that? And so, yes, it's just time for a lot of action, not reaction, to make sure we manifest what we should be manifesting. We should not be at a loss for anything. We have too much of God's supply in this universe to be at a loss for something. And you're right, to talk something 15 years ago, and here we are now talking and addressing the same issue, it has got to stop. And don't think it's not happening in my arena, too.
Right.
I'm
you know what they call that, right?
Whatever.
You know what they call that? Doing the same thing over and over.
Doing it over again.
Doing the same thing over and over again.
Well,
expecting a different result.
I got a new word for it. Instead of retard, it's called P-tarded.
Okay, P-tarded. And
they're not retarded, it's P-tarded. That's the same thing over and over.
You remember, Brother Reed, when I say, fellas, we have to keep on walking our walk. We have to prove to folks that we're doing what we said, because it's not no short deal for me to get 50 states up on the president's desk to be signed.
Yes, ma'am.
Folks can't do it. Especially not a whole lot of that shit'll be in. So, and we can't talk about that. What we want to do is move forward and see how can we all help each other right now. It truly is unity in the community. It better start to be in a real family affair. And I'm going to leave you at that today. Oh, but I do need to tell you, Reuben, don't forget the Veterans Day is Saturday for sarcoidosis, and I know you're going to be there.
Front and center.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you for your work, sister. I appreciate your work.
Okay, we got less than 1 minute. Okay, I'm going to close this out. We got less than 1 minute. Thank you guys so much for calling in. You made this conversation rich. And thank you so much, Reva, for being a guest. All right, so I'm going to close it out. All right, thank you so much for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show. The show will be available for download within about an hour, and be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Donald Due. He's the president and CEO of HSI. So we're going to talk about his programs and ways social service organizations can engage in advocacy to increase their community impact. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. Until then, I will see you next week. Take care.
We're out.